From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Lifetime has released a new six-part documentary series exposing the deeply disturbing sexual misconduct and assault by musician R. Kelly of multiple Black women over decades. The six-part series by filmmaker Dream Hampton is called Surviving R. Kelly and has been released over subsequent days in the new year. The film comes after many years of allegations and accusations against Kelly and has deepened a schism between those who feel vindicated and those who continue to defend the singer. Many have suggested that racism and sexism against Black women is what kept Kelly's crimes out of the limelight. Among those featured in Surviving R. Kelly is Tarana Burke, the woman credited with creating the hashtag MeToo that has ushered in a new era of women survivors of sexual assault being taken seriously. My guest is Rosa Clemente. She's a community organizer, freelance journalist. She was the 2008 Green Party vice presidential candidate and is a doctoral candidate in the W.E.B. Du Bois Department of Afro-American Studies at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. She's also a news correspondent for Rising Up with Sonali. And welcome back to the program, Rosa.
Thank you, Sonali.
So I have noted and noticed that you have been one of those voices that have been calling out R. Kelly for years. It has not been a popular position. How important is this documentary series by Dream Hampton in adding to those voices that have been calling him out?
I believe that this is the end of R. Kelly. And I mean, the end where I believe in the next couple of weeks, all his music will be dropped from all streaming platforms. No other musician will work with him again. No awards show will have him on a stage. Hopefully RCA, his record company, drops him. He may have a show here and there, but wherever he shows up, there will be women, particularly the women that started the Mute R. Kelly movement last year after a large report from BuzzFeed. There's nowhere he could go, at least in the United States of America, where he will be welcomed. And I think that's going to happen. I have a lot of friends who told me just recently this weekend, as we were all watching, that they're not sure. And I understand that hesitation, because he's been doing this now close to 30 years. It's not really been a secret in the African American or Latino community. These allegations have even reached the zeitgeist of pop culture, you know, but I specifically think that this is the end of R. Kelly.
Let's actually watch a brief trailer of the documentary series that was released. This is, again, a documentary series by Lifetime, released by Lifetime, made by filmmaker Dream Hampton, called Surviving R. Kelly.
Can you describe the physical abuse?
God, I can't take another day. I can't do this anymore.
Why didn't anyone notice? We all noticed. No one cared because we were Black girls.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Surviving R. Kelly.
That's a short clip of, actually a trailer of, the documentary series Surviving R. Kelly. How important was it that this film, made by a Black woman, Dream Hampton, centered the victims, the survivors of R. Kelly? Every aspect of this film seems to be one that has put those women's voices front and center.
I think it was very critical. I think no one else but Dream Hampton could have made this. Secondly, we're all happy that the survivors were censored, because for all the survivors we saw, I think about how many we haven't seen, right? Because they may still be scared. They might not want to talk about it. He had them sign an agreement. They feel ashamed. So I think about not only the bravery of all those survivors, including his ex-wife, you know, but
Andrea Kelly. Yeah.
Andrea Kelly. I think another important part of this documentary, it shows how many people were complicit in allowing this to happen. Dream got not only two of his own brothers to talk about him and his in the way he has been for decades, but former employees of him who said they saw this happening throughout the entire career. So the complicity of so many other men and women, particularly Black men and women who were on R. Kelly's payroll, shows that money became more important than the lives that he was destroying. There was no way R. Kelly could have gotten away with all he has done without a team around him that helped him get away with everything that was done. And I think Dream and the team that made this docuseries did a phenomenal job at not immediately erasing them, but letting them go on camera, speak for themselves, and tell us in 6 hours that they all saw this happening, that they were sometimes in the room, that they saw certain girls that they knew were underage, that he had them locked up, imprisoned in their rooms. He had them always call him for permission for everything, including going to the bathroom. He withheld food from these women if they did something that he deemed inappropriate. But he was never alone. There was an entire system of people that cared more about money than the lives of Black girls and women.
And of course, the girls part is also critical. He preyed on minors. He preyed on teenage girls, which basically makes him a child rapist.
Well, he groomed them. You could see, right? He would groom them. He was looking for them. But some of the girls, also their parents introduced them to him, even though they had known and heard about some of the rumors. But what these parents that went on camera said is that when he wasn't convicted, they felt he was innocent. And as long as they were there with their daughters, nothing would happen. But things did happen. Some of these parents have not seen their daughters now for 3 to 4 years. The last two nights of the last two parts of the documentary on the last night shows one of the mothers looking and finally finding her daughter. And it had to take her one or two times to finally get the daughter to leave. I think what's also critically important about this documentary is that there were experts there, psychologists and psychiatrists that were talking about it takes a woman an average 7 to 10 times to leave their abuser before they leave, that women are ashamed. So I think the whole series brought in all the voices, but in every part centered the survivors and their bravery. I mean, his wife, who he has children with, at one point wanted to kill herself and leave, as she said, her babies. But she got the strength to leave the situation. But he has children that also have to live with knowing what everyone in the world knows, that he's a predator, he's a child rapist, he's an abuser. I mean, every adjective that we can use, or I'll use what one of the women said, he's a monster. And the fact that he's still out there means he's a threat to other girls and women. And he can end up becoming a threat to anyone around him as everything around him starts to fall apart.
Now, Rosa, so much of what the documentary shows and what you were just describing is that sort of classic power dynamic that powerful, well-connected men wield over vulnerable women. It reminds me of how Harvey Weinstein preyed upon women. It reminds me of how Bill Cosby preyed upon women one after the other. These serial predators have this common thread, right, that used the vulnerability for young women who were hoping that these men would help them with their careers, help them toward fame, and then found themselves preyed upon.
Yeah, and they were, a lot of them were impressionable young girls. I mean, I was a teenager once. If there was a superstar of that time that wanted to meet with me or see me backstage, I probably would have gone. And that's what R. Kelly played upon. But he also played upon by getting support from the larger communities around him, right? So the church community still had him come to sing. The Chicago community, you see so many women going to his concerts saying that either these girls were lying or a common phrase that's used to talk about young African-American Latina girls is they were fast girls. These are things that we see particularly in our respective culture. But something Tarana Burke said too that was really important is that she said that he was the soundtrack to Black family reunions and Black weddings. And I've been in those spaces. And there's not a time where I didn't hear, "I Believe I Could Fly" or "Step in the Name of Love." That he's also a master at, because he is musically a genius, as people said, he's a master at redeeming himself through music. But through his songs, he always talked about young girls. So he was always telling on himself. But when Tarana made that point about he became the soundtrack to the Black family reunion, to the Black wedding, to this day, that really shows how complicit all of us have been. And not only with R. Kelly, with all men that are predators, because the reason they become serial predators is because we as a community often allow it to happen. And we don't value women, but we certainly do not value particularly Black women and girls.
Now, Dream Hampton said that she invited a lot of well-known celebrities to appear in the film, and many of them turned her down. Jay-Z turned her down. Questlove turned her down. Lady Gaga turned her down. John Legend accepted. How important was it for John Legend and such an important musician like himself to appear in this film? I've always been an admirer of him because he seems to really have principles.
Well, John Legend said in a tweet the first night that the first two parts aired that he really wanted people to stop saying he was brave and a hero because he said this is what we should have all been doing from the beginning. But all, particularly the artists, they're ashamed, right? They look, these things have been going around, like we said, for now almost definitely 25 years, now almost to 30 soon. There's no way none of these artists didn't know not only what R. Kelly was being accused of, a lot of them still work with him post the tape that was released where he is, in my opinion, raping and then on top of it, urinating on a 13-year-old girl. Yeah. That tape was released and there's in our communities, everybody knew about it. All those artists still continue to work with him. So they have, I'm sure they're ashamed, but they also are grown human beings who now need to make amends. And I'm sure they were not willing to come on the camera. A younger artist by the name of Vince Staples last year at Coachella was very clear that he believed that R. Kelly was a child pedophile. And when he said that, he got backlash from people in the music industry. But he did, and he's very young. I think Vince Staples may be in his mid-20s. So you have someone from the age of Jay-Z and Puff Daddy and Celine Dion to now a 25-year-old rapper saying, this is crazy. How does he still have a career? So I think a lot of things happened last year, not only the stories on Harvey Weinstein, not only the BuzzFeed report on R. Kelly. There's been a journalist in Chicago that's for 20 years has been writing about this. and about R. Kelly, and then someone like Vince Staples, the Me Too movement, all of these things, you know, they've come together in the last year. But it took this 6-part documentary to now open up people's eyes. Like, no one can say they don't know now. So I that's why I said from the beginning, there's no way anyone is going to work with him. And if they do, their careers may also be on the line, because people are not accepting that, particularly a new generation of Black women and girls who have found their power and empowered themselves, particularly through the Me Too movement, and that the survivors know that there are millions of people that have their back.
Rosa, is there still a debate in social media, particularly among within the Black community, about R. Kelly? Do you find that there are still male defenders of R. Kelly, not happy about the fact that a Black man is being exposed in this way, making assertions that he's being defamed because he's such a successful Black male singer?
Unfortunately, yes. You know, a lot of us were on social media the 3 days this was airing, and there were a lot of male defenders. There were some women defenders, you know, and it's tragic that they think that way. And I often think, what maybe happened in their lives? You know, maybe they have been abused at one point. Maybe they have been preyed on. Maybe they thought it was their fault. Maybe they do believe this thing in our community that's always saying the system wants to bring down Black and brown men, right? You know, so the thing too that I hope that people recognize is that R. Kelly himself was abused. That's not an excuse for the behavior. I think what that shows is the amount of men at his age, young Black men, that were abused, particularly by people in their family, and we're told that they should be lucky that at 11 or 12 years old, somebody wanted to have sex with them, right? I think that's something that needs to be studied and looked at. And obviously, if you do not get help, you can become this person. Many of us have been abused. Many of us have recognized it. And many of us have done what we needed to do to deal with that and not to inflict pain or hurt on other people. But I think that's very important to look at within the African-American Latino community, the amount of young boys too that have been abused and been told that they've been lucky that an older woman wanted them. Because that carries on, and nobody at 10 or 11 should be dealing or being forced to understand their sexuality in these ways where older people will take advantage of them and abuse them, you know. But, it was very hard to watch this. I think what was amazing about these last 3 days is the community. We might have not all been next to each other, but we were all texting each other or DMing each other and holding each other through this process. Because if you watched it for 3 days, as many of us did, it was heartbreaking. It was infuriating. It was, you know, it takes you back, if you've been abused, to your abuse. And I think all good films or documentaries are ones that change the culture and the history, and in an immediate moment, make it very clear why he can no longer be allowed to participate in this behavior and get away with it. And that I hope that these families not only are reunited, but that they get justice. And if justice for them is getting him indicted and he has to go to jail, then that's what it's going to have to be, because he is an actual menace and a threat to society.
Right. I was just about to ask you the issue of how we get justice. Now, he's, of course, digging in his heels, said he would sue everybody. He said he hasn't watched the film, but he's apparently there's a report that he was going to put up his own website called Surviving Lies. R. Kelly is essentially, you know, continuing to defend himself, as many of these high-profile predators have done. I mean, we've seen how Cosby responded, how Weinstein responded, how so many of the others who have been exposed for their crimes have essentially continued to justify themselves. So I'm not sure if the statute of limitations still applies on some of these cases, or if anybody is willing to put themselves out there and actually be part of a lawsuit, because that's very difficult to do. It's emotionally difficult. It's financially difficult. But do you hope that he will at some point be held accountable legally?
I do hope he will be held accountable. I don't believe he belongs on the outside of this society. Look, he still has apparently 2 to 4 women who he has kept from seeing their parents.
Oh my goodness.
To this moment. So it's not reached the level of what we've all watched in documentaries about cults. You know, it's interesting because I live here in Albany, New York, and for people that might have heard of this cult called Nexium, that's 20 minutes from where I live in Albany, New York. And last year, it took the FBI to finally come in and raid this house that this man was basically holding these women hostage and branding them. They were older women, but what I found fascinating, fascinating might not be the right word, but pretty disgusting, was that everybody in the neighborhood knew what was happening in this house for years. And they would tell the police, and the police didn't take it seriously. And it finally took one of the women leaving and going to the FBI with evidence, right? So we know that he still has women in his house. There are 2 sets of parents in the last part of the documentary that have not seen their daughters for 3 to 4 years, because he has them. So it's not like he has stopped the behavior. He's going to continue it until he is stopped, not only by the larger community, but the system itself. And that's very hard for us that work against mass incarceration, that are abolitionists, you know, to say he needs to be locked up. But in this case, he needs to be locked up. He's going to keep doing this and destroying women's lives. Why wouldn't he keep doing it if he keeps getting away with it?
Well, Rosa, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your voice with us and your insight on this critical issue. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Sonali, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Rosa Clemente is a community organizer, a freelance journalist. She was the 2008 Green Party vice presidential candidate. Currently, she's a doctoral candidate in the W.E.B. Du Bois Department of Afro-American Studies at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, and she is a news correspondent for our program. We've been discussing the new documentary series by Dream Hampton called Surviving R. Kelly. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.